From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. Not all hospitals are happy with the newly inked industry deal just announced at the White House. NPR's Julie Robner has more.
Vice President Biden announced the deal between leaders of the nation's three largest hospital groups and Senate Democrats. The deal calls for hospitals to forego some $150 billion in Medicare and Medicaid payments over the next decade in order to help fund the startup costs of a reconstructed healthcare system. But public and urban hospitals, who were not part of the negotiations, say the deal threatens their patients. It would cut payments that now go to hospitals that serve large numbers of poor and uninsured patients on the theory that most of those people would become insured. But public hospital leaders say there's no guarantee that everyone would get coverage, particularly non-citizens and those with mental illness, leaving hospitals with large numbers of vulnerable patients at significant financial risk. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
World leaders attending the G8 summit meeting in L'Aquila, Italy, have agreed because of the shaky global economy. It is still too soon to begin rolling back the massive economic stimulus measures that have been put in place. The attendees, Britain, Canada, France, Germany, Italy, Japan, Russia, and the U.S., also said they have now set a goal of reducing global warming, which would call for making sure world temperatures do not rise by more than 2 degrees Celsius. Two car bombs have killed at least a dozen people in the northern Iraqi city of Mosul, breaking a brief lull in the violence since U.S. combat forces left Iraq's cities a week ago. NPR's Quill Lawrence reports.
The two explosions occurred within 10 minutes of each other and only 5 miles apart in the northern part of the city. Mosul still harbors a persistent insurgency, and American officials had previously asked to keep combat troops inside the city past the June 30th deadline for withdrawal. A compromise was struck by declaring the huge American base in Mosul to be officially outside city limits. The bombs highlight Mosul's ethnic fault lines. One hit a residential area populated by ethnic Shabaks. The other targeted the neighborhood near a Shiite mosque attended by mostly ethnic Turkomans. Recent bombings in the north have alternately struck Kurdish and Turkoman communities, and American officials believe that insurgents are trying to stoke already heated ethnic tensions. Quill Lawrence, NPR News, Baghdad.
Police in Nashville have now ruled the death of former NFL quarterback Steve McNair a homicide. Officials say the 36-year-old ex-football player was shot and killed by his 20-year-old girlfriend, who after shooting McNair apparently then took her own life. Ranul Surpass is the Nashville police chief.
The police department has concluded that Steve McNair was murdered by Sahil Kazemi, and that in turn, Sahil Kazemi killed herself with a single gunshot wound to her head.
McNair was shot 4 times, apparently, as he slept. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 14 points. This is NPR. Senators are expressing outrage over a security exercise that shows investigators had no trouble smuggling bomb-making materials past guards in a number of federal buildings. Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman called it, quote, the broadest indictment of a federal agency he's ever seen. Lieberman's comments came today at a hearing looking into the performance of the Federal Protective Service, the group responsible for the safety of some 9,000 federal facilities. Most websites in the U.S. have largely recovered from the cyber attack that hit American and South Korean web pages over the last several days. The origin of the attacks, however, is still unknown, NPR's Ari Shapiro reports.
Starting Sunday, a network of hijacked zombie computers started attacking government and commercial websites. The White House downplayed the attacks, saying such attempts take place millions of times a day. But this time, websites from the State Department to Treasury succumbed. Other sites, such as whitehouse.gov, were fine. Experts say this shows some American websites have better cybersecurity than others, and they warn that it's getting easier to stage these kinds of attacks. They can be largely anonymous, which makes it hard to retaliate, and criminal organizations rent out zombie computer networks to anyone who will pay. The attacks were worst in South Korea. Lawmakers there blamed North Korea, but American officials say it's too early to know for sure who was responsible. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Washington.
Massachusetts, which became the first state to legalize gay marriage, has filed a federal lawsuit against the U.S. government. The suit filed in a U.S. District Court in Boston alleges the federal law that defines marriage as a union between a man and a woman interferes with the right of Massachusetts to define and regulate marriage as it sees fit. Massachusetts is the first state to challenge the federal law. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News, in Washington.